what you feel about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Travis. I'm glad they let you speak first. I was tired, and I got that new touch while you was preaching. I needed that. I drove about 350 miles, you know, and that's a pretty good little jump for a young fellow like me, you know. But I'm glad to be here with you. You can be seated. You want me to pull my tie off? I got a call yesterday from a preacher's wife. She said, "I think I'll leave my husband." I said, "What in the living world is wrong?" She said, "He went to town and bought him some tennis shoes and blue jeans and a sports shirt." She said, "I don't know what's happening to him." And I looked at Brother Kraft and I come in, he see if he had tennis shoes on. After a while he called me and he said, "My wife said she called you." I said, "Yeah." I never did tell him, rebuke him about buying tennis shoes. But you see, he was the ripe old age of 39. And it could have been working on him, that hitting that 40, you know, that terrible old age 40. A lot of people are so afraid of, you know. It won't kill you, guarantee you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
A general official asked me yesterday, said, "What do you see for the church? What do you think?" I said, "If ever the United Pentecostal Church needs to stay put, solid on the foundation, the doctrine, and our standards, it's now. Because there's a great multitude just floating around out there. And one of these days they're going to come in like blackbirds. The revelation of the name's coming. You tell them old saints and young ones that's trying to, cause they saw some of them shout and talk in tongues and got short hair and pants on. They better stay put. Not too long ago, I was visiting in a big fine home and a bunch of us in the living room. And the mother was back in the back giving her little boys a bath. One of them is 4 and the other 2. And all of a sudden, that little 2-year-old got loose. And he come running in there as naked as a jaybird. He didn't feel bad. He didn't feel he's doing anything wrong. He's jumping around there. You know, it was fine. So finally, of course, his mother missed him and worked him over. But now, wouldn't we have been silly to go to say, "Well, he don't feel guilty.
All right. Yeah,
he don't feel condemned. And we're going to pull our clothes off." Just don't worry about them little old young'uns out there. They'll grow up after a while and put some clothes on and let the hair grow out. If we'll stay put. Amen. Let's stay put. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I don't know. Would you just let me talk tonight? I know we all need a touch, and I like that new touch. And I'm sitting there thinking, Not too long ago, probably a year or two now, there's a certain doctor in Shreveport wanted me to come over and help him on a case. And I went, and after it was all over, we were sitting just talking. And he said, Reverend, he said, I want to ask you a question. When the pressures get so heavy and the load gets so heavy, and I said, what do you do? He said, the reason I'm asking, he said, my buddy here, one of the best psychiatrists in Shreveport, practiced all day, did a good job, walked out, waved at me, went home, committed suicide. Pressure. I said, first of all, you psychiatrists don't believe in demons, not too many of you. And we got them everywhere, you know, they're everywhere. We don't have to worry about them because we aren't covered with the blood. There's no enchantment to work against Jacob. Just don't ever forget that.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's great.
And I said, man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. And I said, the human spirit is the seat of God consciousness. And the human soul is the seat of self consciousness. And the body is the seat of world consciousness. I said, you can get to just looking out here. Everything's happening. Everything going wrong. Everything. Just look at it. Everywhere. Pick up the paper. There it is. You become worldly conscious of all that's going on. And if you're not careful, I said, it'll drive you into yourself, your soul. And you begin to think about yourself. Become self-conscious and disease-conscious, fear-conscious, and all these other things. But I said, this is my secret. When it gets too tough out here, I withdraw into self-conscious, look at myself, usually don't like myself too well. And then I get on back into spirit and flow with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You see, when you get there, I said to the doctor, I said, 15 minutes there is worth more than anybody's 2 weeks vacation. When you withdraw from everything and get alone with Him, and I mean alone with Him, you leave self out there. You leave the world out there. And you see God in all of His perfection, in all of His love, in all of His faith, with His hands outstretched, doing everything right. You just stay there a while. The storms don't blow. Amen. No devil's crawling around there. Everything's peaceful and wonderful. That's our hiding place, ministers. Hide in Him, and a little peace come that you never thought of. You know, while the disciples was worrying about bread, Jesus said, I have meat to eat you know not of. While they was worried and scared to death about a storm, He was just sleeping away. Just sleeping away. When the RS come, they was all worried about maybe going to jail, no money to pay the taxes. He sent Peter fishing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When they was worrying about how they was going to feed 5,000 people, He said, just bring me what you got. Just bring me what you got. Give me what you got. That's all you can give anyway. And that's all He asked for. Even the parole sinner, He put him at ease. He said, fear not. I'll forgive you. I'll love you. It's going to be all right. Praise God. When the poor woman at the well, nobody, just an outcast. When he showed her that he loved her, he cared. It opened up a brand new world. There's millions out there waiting for a word of faith that us ministers can give to them. Amen. Praise God. I was reading here, looking here at a scripture in Mark, 6th chapter, and 31st verse. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Well, you folks found the desert place, didn't you? I thought I'd never get here. So, did you know you're in the will of God tonight? He told us to do this. And Brother Kraft's glad he's 200 miles away from home. I am too. They don't know where I'm at tonight. I was following Sister Kraft down here. And I'm still pretty alert at my age. She said, I can tell you the way. But instantly I said, I better follow you. And so I followed. And we made it. All right, he said, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Rest a while. How you like that? For there are many coming and going. You know all about that, don't you, preachers? Preachers' wives. That's coming and going. And they had no time. And they had no leisure so much as to eat. Now, they were really getting in a bad fix here. No time for anything, you know. Pressures, 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 you know. I don't know, not too long ago, a preacher, he said, I'm giving up my church, leaving, can't stand the pressure. I said, what God called you to do? He called you to turn the pressure on. Ain't nobody can put the pressure on like a preacher. Amen. Put the pressure on the devil. People trying to split the church, put the pressure on them. I tell mine, I said, I love every one of you, but if you ever try to split the church, I'll pray God to put you in the graveyard. And I love you. I don't know. They just don't try it, you know. We're not the ones to be pressured by the devil. We're to put the pressure on him. Poor black preacher down in Louisiana, he called me the other night. He said, oh, preacher. He said, I can't sleep. He said, there's a woman come here, a white woman, said she was sent of the devil, and she's put a curse on me and my church. I said, she ain't done no such a thing. She's lying. She can't put a curse on God's church. She can't. And I quoted that scripture, there's no enchantment against Jacob, against the church. It just don't work. Bang, 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 it don't work. I just forget it. He said, oh, I feel better. I said, go to bed and go to sleep and forget about the devils. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. I don't know. Tonight, I keep feeling to talk to you. I don't know. I was going to preach on add life to your years, you know. A lot of folks live, really they don't live. They go around half dead all the time. They really are just half dead all the time. It's anything I've ever seen. You ever hear the story about the old fellow, he's staying in the hotel, old Bill? He
Pat, I'm waking him up every morning at 5 o'clock. Had to go to work. Well, he got drunk. The boys had to put him to bed, so they decided to black his face while he's out. And they blacked his face real good. And the bellboy knocked on the door and hollered, "Bill, get up. It's time to get up." He ran to the looking glass to comb his hair. He ran out in the hall and hollered at the bellboy, said, "You've woke up the wrong man." And I tell you, preachers, if you'll relax here like you are too tonight, put on a smile. When your wife wakes you up in the morning and see you all smiling and relax, not talking about your troubles, she may decide she woke up the wrong man.
All right.
But there's a whole lot to live for. If we don't hurry up, we're not going to get too much out of life. We're not going to live here but once, you know, the way we are now. And I sort of like to stay around. I'm 71 years old. Never been in the hospital in my life. A long time ago, I decided, well, I'm going to get sick so I can prove God can heal. And, brother, I opened the door and the devil was there. Here he come with 14 old malarial chills, I mean in fevers. Brother, worked me over. And you know what? I decided from that day, I said, God's best is not getting healed when you're sick. His best is don't get sick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a lot easier to pray when you're well, to stay well, because when you get to hurting, it's hard to believe. Well, it's in the plan. The Lord said if you do sin, you can repent of it. And if you do get sick, well, believe. But the best thing to do is to believe and not sin or not get sick. Just let it alone. I like that a lot better. I hate being sick. And I pray for people the whole time. But I want to unburden my heart to you about something tonight. I have seen hundreds of alcoholics delivered. I've seen thousands of sick people healed of every disease you can think of. Cancers. All these things, you know. And I never told this, but one time, that was last week. I said, well, I'm getting old, and if I don't tell it, well, maybe these younger preachers need to hear this. Why did the Lord appear to me and talk to me one time? Why did he tell me I could, in his name, do some of these things? When I was 12 years old, we had just come into Pentecost. We were on our way to church. Dad was driving, my brothers and sisters, and my little baby brother. Mom had him in his arms. His name was Roland. And a couple of drunks come around a curve and turn the car upside down. Threw the baby out under the radiator, knocked the cap off. It was scalded to death. I grabbed at my arms and it just scalded my arms. It was screaming. You see, we was going to church. We prayed. But it died. My little sister next to me, her name was Odessa. She was such a beautiful girl. Long, black, curly hair. She was my pal. And she was stricken down with cancer. And I never forget hearing a scream in the night, dying with cancer, and we prayed. And my people prayed. They all prayed, and they battled, and but she died about 5 o'clock one morning. And we kept believing God. We buried Roland. We buried Odessa, but we kept believing God, and we kept going to church.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
Then my little 11-year-old sister was struck down with a terrible disease. I was just a young fella just before I started out preaching then. And I had prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. And I said, Lord, don't let Dorothy die. And, but she died with my hand on her head, praying for her. When they said, she's gone, I went to the woods. I got alone with God, and I said, God, I don't know why, but I'm going to believe you anyhow.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe you anyhow. I'm not going to let circumstances cause me to give up. I'm going to fight. I'll never forget with that old pine tree when the Lord came and he talked to me. And I said, little Roland, honey, I couldn't pray the prayer of faith for you, but I prayed the prayer of faith for hundreds and hundreds of alcoholics. They've been delivered on the spot and never wanted another drink. I've kept many alcoholics by the help of Jesus off the highways so they couldn't kill somebody else's baby.
Hallelujah.
Little Odessa, I couldn't help you, honey. You was my pal. Loved you. But I forget when the Lord began to heal cancer. You see, the Lord said, it's because you believe me anyhow. You wouldn't quit believing when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine and your prayers were not answered. You believed anyway. Let me tell you tonight, don't ever give up. Hang on. There's something good ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil knows what's ahead of you, preacher. He knows what God's planning for your life. He knows the beauty and the wonderful things he'd like to stop if he could. But the man that hangs on and believes anyway, like some of you have, that's why you're where you're at today. You wouldn't quit. You believed and trusted God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been preaching 47 years. Always with pride myself, I never run from anything. I faced guns and preaching when just close to where I was preaching, they had shot at the preacher and killed a woman on the platform. And they came out to run me out, and they shot over my head. Or I don't know how far, but the bullet was singing by. In the name of Jesus, I went to them. Walked right into their guns. And they left. Some of that bunch is saved today. But 2 years ago, my daughter had backslid and left home. Left. And that Sunday morning, I had gotten the news that she's gone again. And I said to my wife, I said, wife, I don't want to go to church for the first time. I said, not to get anything against the Lord. I just don't want to face the people. I just don't want to face the people. They know what's happened. I don't have the heart to go. She said, I don't either. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just call my assistant and tell him, go ahead and we'll get in the car and ride. Just go somewhere. She said, all right, as soon as I wash the dishes. I went back to my office. I sat down in the chair. And all of a sudden, there was a face in front of me as real as I'm looking at you, Brother Kraft. Just about 3 feet from me. The eyes were black. The lips were swollen. There was a crown of thorns on his head. I never realized I beat him up so bad. I saw him just exactly like he looked when he left Pilate's Hall. He didn't say one word. He just looked at me a long time. And the scene changed. And I saw him with a cross on his shoulder struggling up Golgotha's hill. And it faded out just like you turn a movie off. And it was so quiet. He was saying, Tom, I didn't run. When the going got tough, I stayed with it, boy, for you. They beat me there in Pilate's Hall, and I want you to take this message. Heal the sick and cast out devils. Break the power of Satan. I carried the cross all the way for you. I went back and I said, wife, I told her what I saw. I said, we're going to church. By the help and grace of God, I'll never, never run. I'll never give place to the devil. Never. I'll fight until I die. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You're up against some things. Don't run. Just pray.
Yes, amen.
He said, I have. But I want you to remember, my Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed earnestly. But I was astonished when I found this scripture not long ago, and he prayed more earnestly. And he prayed more earnestly. He put more into it. Amen. There was a time in his prayer he was praying earnestly. But suddenly, he moved forward, putting more into it. And the Bible said he offered up prayers with strong cries and tears and supplication. Two tears came, but he prayed more earnestly than many came. A few drops of blood, but he prayed more earnestly. And more came. And on and on. I'm a firm believer that if a prayer is prayed earnestly and more earnestly, and you hold on, hour in, hour out, you'll get what you're praying for. Sometimes the old flesh gets in the way. Pardon me for using my own self in this tonight, but if I don't tell it, you'll never know about it. Just like I told you about my brother and my two sisters. I don't know what you think. When I'd buried them all, and then my mom and my dad, all Christians, I'll never forget, I went down to the old graveyard. There was five bodies, five graves. And I stood there weeping. Mom was gone. Dad is gone. I thought about the accident. I thought about Roland years ago. Thought about Dorothy. Thought about Odessa. And my heart was breaking, and I said, "Oh, God, it seems I'm so alone." I said, "Do they know that I'm down here? Do they really know that their son, brother, is down here battling hell and fighting and holding up the name of Jesus? Do they know it?" If before I knew what I was saying, I said, "Lord, if so, give me a sign." And the old country five beautiful birds flying right towards me. They came down toward me and then went back into the heavens. Five graves, five birds at the moment I ask. Yes, they know. Yes, they know. There's something about the prayer of faith. A prayer of faith, a real prayer of faith, Brother Kraft, never dies. It lives forever. You can add to that prayer another one and another one and another one. And I read where Abel yet speaks. There was a prayer and a sacrifice made 6,000 years ago. Still there. I read where the saints' prayer was all bottled up. I read where they took the saints' prayers and poured them out. And it was thunder and it was lightning and it was an earthquake. Prayers live. On and on and on. Keep praying. Keep praying. Add another one and add another one. The thing that makes a preacher's life so powerful and such a flame in the hands of God. The fellow that's got 1,000 hours of prayer in is more effective and more powerful than the fellow that's only got a few hours.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
It's one prayer
right.
After another. One could put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. And the prayers build up, and they build up, and they build up.
Hallelujah.
I got a call one night. From the Lord, he said, "Go to the hospital and pray for Percy Frazier." Percy Frazier was dying with a heart attack. And I said, "Lord, he's not a member of my church. I don't know whether they want me in there or not." He said, "You go. I'll take care of that." I went, but I really went reluctant. Well, I went in. They were so glad. They said, "Please come in." Prayed. He'd had a massive heart attack. Not expected to live through the night. But you see, going home, when I heard about the miracle, the Lord said, "That was his mother's prayers. I sent you just as a minister." He had the prayingest old mother in my church. A real saint that had been gone to heaven a long time. And he said, "I poured her prayers out on her boy." Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What great things are lying in store for us. Now, I was a farmer back when I was a boy. Along about March, or before Dad would say, "Boys, it's time to shell the seed corn." We would find the best ears, and we'd shell it, and we'd put it in a sack, and tie the sack up and wait for the day to go and plant the seed. And we would plant it, and it'd be times that it wouldn't come up right. And we'd have to replant it. Take a hoe and some corn and go along and replant it. But when it would be dry, Dad would say, "What we need to do is to soak this corn.
and he'd soak it a day or two until it would swell. And it was amazing how fast it would catch up with the other corn. Soon you wouldn't know that it had been replanted. What am I saying? This Bible is the word, is the seed. Now remember, we'd have never had a harvest if we'd have kept the seed in the sack. And when you study the Bible, this is the sack. You get it in your mind. But if you're going to have a harvest, you've got to get it deeper than that. You've got to soak it through hours and days of prayer until the word is planted in your heart, in your human spirit, and there it's soaked day in and day out. Prayer, prayer going up to God. Yes. Until finally, remember, the letter kills, but the spirit, the anointing, gives it life. And now the seed has been took out of the sack. It's been placed in deep inside. And it's been watered. And now when you speak it out, not from up there, but down here, the words I speak unto you, their spirit and their life.
Hallelujah.
The word will never become spirit and life until it's prayed over, fasted over, day in, day out, planted deep inside till it becomes a part of you. And then you speak it. And it's not you, it's the word going forth that brings the harvest. That's a little secret. Come from the corn patch. But it works. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can get too busy, ministers. I don't know about you. I can minister and help people and lift them up and all of this, you know. And knock on the Lord's door. Lord, we need our finances increased, and we need this, and we need that. And God, give me some bread for the children tonight. And oh, yeah. But you know, the thing that I watch for, to know I'm doing all right, he knocks on my door when I least expect it. If you're doing all right, you don't have to do all the knocking. It may be in the wee hours of the morning that he'll knock. You never know. I was sitting in a barber chair one day, and the Lord said, I want you to pray for Tom Fred Tenney. I forgot the date, but you give me the date. The next day he called me and he said, how's it going? I said, great. I said, where are you going to be? It's 13th. I said, where are you going to be May the 13th? He said, overseas in a very dangerous place. I told him, I said, now don't worry, nothing will happen. The Lord told me to pray for you, and that means he will answer the prayer. That's the Lord knocking on our door, you know. You remember the old Moses, he called his boss, and he said, boss, he didn't call him boss. He said, called him a name. He said, I want to ask you a few questions. Said, how about old Mose? How's old Mose doing? Oh, he said, all right. He said, you pleased with him and everything he does? Why, sure. He said, who is this talking? He said, this is old Mose himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want to know how I'm doing.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
10,000 people can pat me on the back, but I'm waiting on yours.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time here tonight. I probably went over my time here, but my heart is just burdened. I haven't stayed with nothing tonight. I had a text and I had an outline. But the Lord said, I want you to just tell them a few things about some things. Praise God. I went up from church one night, 10 o'clock, and the Lord said, go pray. I said, I'm really tired, Lord. I preached my heart. I just couldn't hardly sit up. I was so sleepy. And he didn't say nothing else. That's the bad thing about it, you know. I couldn't argue with him because he was gone. He just come up. So I went to the office. And I prayed and I struggled through an hour. But I got to feeling pretty good. And all of a sudden, a new anointing came, brother. That new something hit me. 12 o'clock, going great. Everything. I wasn't tired anymore. I wasn't hungry. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, man of life, did he pay no attention to the clock no more. The old flesh, you know. I don't know. The old flesh don't want to hit, it just don't want to pray. And the devil will see to it that it don't, if you listen at all. Well, I want to close here tonight with one other character back here in the Old Testament. But don't ever let that slip away from you. Your prayer of faith you prayed will never die. Add another one to it. And then pray more earnestly. And watch the answer come. I'm turning over here to Job. You know all he went through. I'm not going to go into that, but there's something here I like. I was reading about Job not long ago. Of course, I'd read over here where he got everything back, you know. And it said here in this 16th verse, and after this, I like that, after this. There's always an after this. After the battle, after poverty, riches, after sickness, health, after this. I've told the devil a lot of time, I said, you just weep after this. Amen. The Lord's not letting you beat me around for nothing. I'm coming out of this, and I'm going to beat your ears down.
Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And after this, Job lived. I like that he lived.
He
go down half dead, he lived. Brother, he really lived. He lived. He was already dead with old age. Fella couldn't accumulate all that wealth and have 10 kids and a backslid wife without getting old. He probably didn't have but a few years to live. But after all of this, and after the devil had raged and roared and lied on him, he lived 140 years.
Hallelujah.
How you like that, devil? You'd have better let him alone, devil. God give him about 130 years more. Amen. Well, I don't know. I've often said, the demons said, well, old Job, devil, he's, don't mention his name. I don't think the devil ever wanted to hear Job again. He never wanted to hear his name. Because he soundly beat him and whipped him and made a liar out of, well, he's already a liar, but he really made it stand out, you know. He's a liar. But I like this. After this, Job lived. Amen. I don't know what you're going through, but come on. I used to hear Dad say, well, the big apples always come to top. So I said, well, I said, I just can't believe that. Big apples come to top. So I went and got me a jar, and I put some little bitty rocks and some middle-sized rocks and some great big ones in it. And I went to shake it. And you know what? Sure enough, the big rocks came to the top. And the middle-sized one stayed in the middle, and the little bitty and the dust on the bottom. All you had to do was just beat it a few times, and the big ones come to the top, let them go to the bottom. When a church goes through a beating, the big ones will come to the top, and the little ones go to the bottom. Praise God. If you want to get to the top, you know, just grow. Amen. Because there's something about the beating and the knocking and the university of hard knocks. It's good for us all, you know. And he lived 140 years and saw his sons and his son's son, even to four generations. And I like that so very much. Because I enjoy living, you know. I have people come in my office and continually, just a string of people, you know, coming all the time. Here, on the telephone, everything, you know, trying to help people. And they come in with every kind of a problem. They flew a witch in from way out in California. Remember the first Church of Satan a while back? I battled them devils 5 hours before they come out. I had to move all the clocks out of my office. You couldn't stand to hear them tick. I said, the devil sure has messed you up, hadn't he? I like to hear clocks tick. Amen. Somebody came last week, said, oh, Baptist lady, she said, I made the mistake of buying a witchy board. And she said that thing had talked to me, and I'd talked to it. Said, I was just playing with it at first. Yeah. I said, then that thing got to answering me without me saying anything. Mentally, I just think something he'd answer. I said, oh. She got worried. And then all of a sudden, she'd feel a pressure. And that devil would tell her, said, hey, you don't love your husband. Said, there's a fellow over yonder somewhere. Said, he really loves you. Said, you need to go over there. And she said, my mind said, if you try to look through a little quill with your eyes, said, that's the way my mind, he'll come in and just pressure it to where I can't think. Just one little thought I can get out. And she said, that thing will come against me and touch my body and just actually burn. They're real. Devils are real. I said, well, repent. You need the Holy Ghost, some protection, because you couldn't boil the devil and pour him in a person that had the Holy Ghost. He ain't about to get it. Right. He'll stay away on the hill and lie, you know. So, all right. Glory. He knows how far he can go and where he has to stop him. But I said, Lord, I want to tell you, I want to ask you a question one day. I said, Lord, how much authority do I have over the devil? And he said, well, if he's out on a mountain yonder, he said, I'm not going to bother. But he said, if you're on the mountain and you don't want him on there with you, well, you just tell him and I'll kick him off. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I sort of didn't know I might overstep. He said, remember Paul, that old girl? She didn't want them demons cast out. He cast them out anyhow. She's messing around the church. Mm-hmm. Glory. They get the fooling around the church, you can put them going. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Please let me tell you this.
about the divorce situation.
I want to pass this on to you.
I was praying a while back. I said, Lord, I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say they've fell out of love. They don't love one another no more. Husband, wife, don't love one another no more. Don't give it just don't know what happened. Just don't. I said, I don't like that. I said, I ain't never stopped loving my wife, and I ain't never in my life, 47 years, told her I was going to leave because I don't believe in lying. She couldn't run me off.
Yes. I believe that. All right. Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, through the Spirit of prophecy, the Lord is speaking to me. He said, material things don't hold a marriage together.
Right.
He said, folks, the cattle accident in the driveway is getting divorced every day. He said, education don't hold them together. He said, there's doctors and lawyers, congressmen, senators, and all the rest of them getting divorced. And he said, children don't hold them together. He said, they'll leave the kids and them bawling and squalling. And even having a good, normal relationship don't hold them together in that sense. Because they're leaving one another every day anyway. I said, oh, God, what is it? He said, when I created man, I made him a free moral agent. He has a lot of power in his will. And he has to will to love before he'll love. And he has to will to let somebody love him. You see, there's some people who love but say, don't touch me. That's halfway. Well, your companion, you've got the will to love her. Regardless of the storms, what comes, what goes, years, what? You will to love to the end. And you will to let her love you and talk to you. And the Lord said, guard this. Because a man can will to love God or he can will to love Satan. So I've been looking at some of them. I said, you haven't done no such a thing. You will to do it. It didn't something just run out the back door. You will to not love her.
All right.
Come on. Now, brother, that's hitting the nail on the head. You love who you want to love. And I see people in love with an old pug-nosed bulldog. Ugly as a mud fence. And they love that silly thing. So it don't go for beauty. All that, you know, and love anything they want to love. Just make up your mind. What you going to love and who you're going to love and love them. And if it's right to love them, love them. And it's always right to love your companion. I had a fellow come by and he said, I'm leaving my wife. I said, what in the world's the matter? He said, her mouth's like a barn door. Said, she talks day and night. The very same week another one came by and he said, I'm leaving my wife. I said, what in the world's the matter now? He said, she won't talk. I said, please send her by. I got to meet a woman that won't talk. But it was the truth. She wouldn't. Another fellow came up with a great big long sheet of paper. And he had all of his wife's faults on it. He said, I want you to read my wife's faults. Oh, how some people like to get a hold of that. I said, I ain't gonna do it. I said, you turn it over and write all of yours. Now, be honest. Before God, you write all of yours on the back. He grinned, put it back in his pocket. He said, there ain't never room. We all got a few, haven't we? When you really face the facts, we have. But Jesus don't have them. He's a great physician. He's a darling. He's great. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! While we're here, let's live. What do you say? Let's see the sunshine and the dogwoods. Oh, how pretty they are. Nature, everything. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's enjoy it. The flowers along the road. Oh, let's don't go to sleep, you know. Let's love one another. And love nature. And we in the will of God tonight. Come apart. Rest a while. Over here, this desert place. Just rest a while. Get away from all of this coming and going and just rest and have a good time. God bless you.